When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome to the Miles to Memories podcast. I'm Sean Coomer, your host, joined as always by MTM's managing editor, Mark Osterman, and from As the Joe Flies, Joe Chung. Good to see you, gentlemen. As a reminder, before we get into the show, everything related to this show, you can find it at mtmpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us in your favorite podcast app. Always forget to mention that up top, so figured I'd do that. I'm back in the United States, guys, so it's good to hear English everywhere. Just kidding, I was in the UK, so a bad joke, I guess.
Yeah, but theirs isn't real English.
Yeah, exactly. Proper English, right? Proper American English.
There you go.
When I listen to podcasts at 1.2 or 1.3 speed, but sometimes if it's like English people, I gotta slow it down. It's my brain isn't as used to processing it, and so I gotta go at normal speed for the English. So
we did the tour in Dublin, the jail tour, and I could only pick up like every third word of what the guy says because he was talking so fast and he had such a thick accent. I was like, okay, I kind of understand what's going on here, but not totally, but okay, it looks cool.
It was funny, in Scotland there was a lot of Scots where they had a lot less of an accent than I would have thought, and then there was times you would talk to people, I don't know if it's just, you know, regional varieties, but you would talk to people and, yeah, I couldn't understand anything that they were saying. We were at the DoubleTree in Glasgow in the club lounge, and the server there, he had the thickest Scottish accent I've ever heard. And, like, I felt embarrassed because he would just talk and I could not understand anything he was saying. But, same language, you know, different accent. It's always fun to do that. But I survived the trip with my dad, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I am exhausted, and I'm in Detroit, kind of laying low for a couple days. Not too far from Mark, but just hanging out in the hotel, relaxing.
Yeah, Sean comes in, there's going to be a 100-degree heat wave on Wednesday, so he gets to enjoy that tomorrow. Should be fun.
What about this weekend for the actual meetup?
It's going to be, I think, low, mid-80s, so it should be pretty nice. Doesn't look like any rain or anything as far as I can tell. So a little bit hot probably at points in time, but should be good overall, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited. Right now I'm at the Sheraton by the airport, which is nothing special. Although, Mark, it is right next door to that Bob's Big Boys, so I've been tempted to like go over there and...
Don't do it.
...and try it out. But the Sheraton here is actually renovated, so it's good. I'll have a review on it later. Not that it's anything special, but...
I always like atrium hotels, especially when the pool's in the atrium. I always enjoy that.
Yeah, in fact, while we're recording this, Ellie is downstairs in the pool in the atrium swimming right now, so I'm sure she's making all kinds of noise, disturbing everybody. But last year when we were here, I think this hotel had terrible reviews because the rooms were really dated and stuff, and just in the last year they renovated them pretty nice, so it was a nice redemption. And then I got a semi comp at the MGM Grand Detroit, so I'm going to try that out, film it, and do it for the Vegas channel. We'll talk about it on MTM Vegas too, so I'm looking forward to staying there. The rooms there look really nice. I know you stayed last year in the suite and it was like dirty and stuff. So I'm hoping I have a better experience.
Three rooms I've gotten, they've had like chips and stuff on the floor, crumbs and everything. So hopefully they got that corrected. We used to stay at the Sheraton, even though we live like 30 minutes from the airport, if it was a early flight or I was flying out early, because back in the day it was 2,000 SPG points on the weekend, which is insane. So, or we'd go down there and go swimming and stuff.
Yeah, I think now it's like 12,000 Marriott points, which isn't terrible.
That's like 4,000 SPG.
Yeah, so it's not terrible. Obviously, that's going to vary based on the price of the hotel, but that's what we're paying. And it's pretty good. The rooms, like I said, are modern and renovated, and it'll do good. I'm looking forward to the MGM Grand. Has a really nice pool there, too, that has an indoor infinity pool. In fact, I didn't even know about it. Mark mentioned it to me yesterday, so now you got me all excited.
Really cool.
About that, yeah. So looking forward to that and just getting a little bit of rest. We wanted to do Morocco, and I had mentioned it on previous shows, but I came down to the point where just traveling with my dad and son just really exhausted us, and I knew squeezing 3 days in Morocco in between the meetup and everything else was going to be too much, so we just ultimately flew back. And I'll talk about that too, because I did a last-minute redemption flying Blue on Air France, so I'll talk a little bit about the experience with them and how Air France screwed me out of my elite benefits with my matched ITA Airways status, which I know Joe is super interested in hearing about.
I am not interested in that, but I am interested in, I was going to ask, and I don't know, maybe we can just talk about it now. I was going to ask, changing your mind from going to Morocco seems like a huge thing. So I was wondering, how did you handle, it wasn't only just getting your dad and your son back home, right? You had to get back home too, since you weren't going to Morocco. And so what happened with all that?
She wanted more time in Detroit because it's the best. That's why.
Yes, Detroit travels harder. Is that what the shirt says?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome shirts. Shout out to my wife. Yeah, shout out to my wife for making some cool shirts, which you can find on Twitter. I posted a picture of them. Detroit Hustles Harder is like a big thing that kind of blew up like 10 years ago. So we made shirts that say Detroit Travels Harder for people to win this weekend, which should be fun.
So to answer your question, Joe, I hadn't booked any flights back. I had left my options open, although I was keeping up on the availability, so I knew what options I had and stuff. And it came down to like the last couple days, and Jasmine and I just ultimately deciding we didn't have the energy. The business class flights I had originally seen from Morocco to JFK and then connecting to Detroit were not available, but they were never really, it was phantom inventory. But economy flights were always available, and there was a cheap flight that stayed available till the end to get down to Morocco. So it was always an option, but ultimately we decided not to do it. And then I had been, you know, searching availability. There was plenty of availability on American Airlines to connect through like JFK to get to Detroit with an economy ticket. But ultimately Air France pretty much every day had their direct flight in economy available using Flying Blue miles. And it was 60,000 Flying Blue miles for three of us. Of course, American Express has a 25% bonus right now. So it ultimately was like 16,000 membership rewards each to fly on that direct flight from Charles de Gaulle to Detroit, which was too good to pass up. $155 in taxes and fees. So yeah, it was good.
Actually, my friends, and this is kind of, I guess, a little bit of word of warning, they were supposed to go to Taiwan next week. And I guess they booked with Chase Travel Portal, which is not really the problem in the story. But it's the wife and her two kids are supposed to go, but the husband booked it through Chase Travel Portal, and he got an email from Chase in April saying that that flight was canceled. And I guess he didn't open it because he thought it was just like a flight change or something like that. And they just found out today they were supposed to leave next week, like a week from today. And so I was trying to help them find last minute miles and points stuff, and it was pretty hard. I actually used point.me. I haven't used that before. It's converted from Juicy Miles, right? I can't remember what exactly it converted from. Mark's nodding, so yes.
Yeah, I was going to actually mention it because I've been using point.me. Just as a disclosure, we do have a relationship with them. We have an affiliate link and stuff. Joe probably didn't even know that. But yeah, I don't.
I brought it up naturally, just FYI.
Yeah, but I was going to mention anyway because I've been using it so much and it's helped so much. And I do have they did give me a complimentary account to use it. So I want to disclose that as well. But it's been, you know, really helpful in searching this stuff. It makes it so easy to just kind of look at all the programs. It takes a little bit of time to go through it, but you can just hit the date, hit the cities, and it'll go through everything. And then you need to go to the next date, you just do it. And that's how I was able to kind of keep track of all the availability across the different programs and stuff like that without having to search everywhere. And I agree with you. Whether people use our link or not, it doesn't matter. I'm a believer in that travel search engine. Basically, point.me is a search engine that it kind of combines all the award programs into one search, so you don't have to go to all the different sites. And then it tells you, you know, how to book everything, which transfer partners, everything else. So it's been incredibly helpful. And, you know, that's how I kept track of everything as I was doing it. And that's how I knew what all my options were. And it made it super simple, so I didn't have to spend a ton of time every day kind of keeping track of everything.
Yeah, that was my experience as well. And yeah, it does take a while to search, but they're searching like 35 different travel programs or partner programs or whatever. So ultimately, I think we found something that works for my friend and stuff like that. But kind of a double warning there. It is tough, at least going to Asia. Obviously, I wasn't searching Europe, but it was tough finding miles and points space. I think they're actually going to end up going through the Chase Travel Portal again. My friend still has Chase Sapphire Reserve, so they're going to use like 1.5 cents per point for that. So it's tough out there to do last minute international, at least to Asia. But then the other reminder is definitely in this day and age, check your emails and make sure you read what they say, because with flights getting canceled all the time and Even sometimes the flight changes, it might not affect your first flight, but it affects your connection and stuff like that. So keep an eye out on that. And if you really want to gamble like Sean, you just book it last minute in the first place. But I can't deal with that stress. Respect to you for being able to do that.
Well, there was a ton of availability in economy, different routes. We could have gotten back in business class, honestly, for three tickets using like Lufthansa through Germany with a connection. But, you know, flying direct, I feel like that was the best way to go and because of the deal. So had I seen everything drying up, I probably would have shored everything up a little bit sooner. But I had multiple different options, multiple different flights. And so as long as I had that, I was okay. And then, like I said, I had talked to Mark weeks ago about the Air France direct flight and how it was open pretty much every day in economy. Now, if you want business class, it's going to be a little bit tighter. But I, like I said, Lufthansa is opening up some last minute stuff, but it does get a little bit hairy. And I just wrote the article, which will go up on the site in the next week, about all the flights I did for my dad's trip and how I was able to get him there in business class and back and some of the sacrifices I had to make. Because, Joe, if I had booked this trip a year ago, or a bit booked it 9 months out or whatever it was, it would have been super simple. And because I only did it a couple months before, it was a lot of headaches, a lot of time spent searching. And so I don't recommend this last minute travel stuff. It's definitely not for the faint of heart, and it's not for right now. If you're not, you know, get ahead of yourself, because we've talked about this before. It's getting ugly with ticket prices and availability.
Yeah, I fly to Maryland next weekend, going back to the Chesapeake Bay Hyatt with the family and meeting up with a buddy there. And Southwest switched our flight. I had a flight, like, I think it was like 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. The resort's like 2 hours away from Baltimore. So it's like, okay, we'll get up, you know, at a somewhat early hour, but not super early, and drive out there and make it and stuff. So that was like the flight that worked for us. And then Southwest changed it to like a 10 a.m. flight, which won't work unless we get up at like 5 a.m., which I'm not doing. So we had to switch it to a 10:30 p.m. flight, which I'm not looking forward to. And then if anything goes wrong, we're going to get stranded. So pray for me, guys. Thoughts and prayers, please.
I was praying the whole way for my dad and my son, or especially my dad, because one of the sacrifices I had to make to get him in business class is he had to make two connections. So he flew Paris to London, London to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to Vegas, mainly because any award space into Vegas is like impossible to get. And I wanted to keep him on one ticket. But thankfully, everything went like really well, because I was watching all these like meltdowns and canceled flights and people stranded, and none of that happened to him. The other thing, Joe, that was really fun was coming back to the U.S. like a day after they got rid of the travel, or that they got rid of the testing requirement. So no test required. So Mark could make fun of me for carrying around this test, although I can still use them for the upcoming cruise. So at least they're not wasted. At least they're not wasted.
I was
going
to say, did Jasmine slam dunk them into the trash can, like windmill dunk them in, because they were taking up space in her luggage?
Cruises are still requiring testing to get on board?
Yeah, as far as I know, I haven't Googled that, but I haven't seen them lift the requirements with the cruise line.
That seems strange.
I think the thing that they have, well, I think they don't want people boarding who are like actively sick. And Disney, like, they just changed about a couple weeks ago. They just changed their protocol, and they have the strictest protocol. And they still, now they might be tied with everyone else. But originally, Disney, like, it was like you show up at the port, you test there. And they test you, which was good because you didn't have to pay for it. But if you get, and lots of people are getting denied boarding for testing positive at the port. Now Disney has changed it where we could get the EMED kits like Sean, except for our youngest daughter who isn't vaccinated because she can't be. Maybe next Monday. But we can do the EMED tests within 48 hours. And I think all the other cruise lines are like that too. And, you know, the goal is for them not to have people like actively sick getting on the ship. And all the cruise lines, if you test positive on one of those things, they give you all your money back or let you apply it to a future cruise. So, I mean, at least there's
take
something
the money.
There. But
take the money.
Yeah.
But of course, yeah, they do that. And if you, of course, you don't want to test positive on the cruise because then you're, you know, you're going to be locked away in a room, and that's never fun. So I guess you wouldn't test positive on the cruise these days because they're not doing active testing. All
right, well, unless you come down with like symptoms and they send the medical staff in to test you, and then you're stuck.
Yeah, and they are watching you very closely on the cruises. They're watching people for symptoms, and you know, so
they
you
probably have
you don't want to get on
the thermometers in the ceilings that are gunning your forehead everywhere you walk.
Not quite that, but it's definitely in your best interest to not get sick on board, and to like, you know, if you are sick, to not, you know, to find out before you go. So yeah, I was super bummed about the testing, but then I remembered I can use them for the cruise, so then I was I wasn't so bummed, but it made it easy because I didn't have to figure out how to get my son and my dad tests, because they literally flew the first day, you know, at midnight is when they got rid of the requirement, and they flew, you know, 12 hours later. And there was, you know, coming into the U.S., it was like no mention of it at all. And I hadn't done global entry, obviously, in a while. Global entry now actually just uses the facial recognition, which is really cool. So you don't have to, like, scan your passport or do anything. You just stand in front of the thing, and it scans your face, and then it knows who you are, and it gives you the slip. So that kinda was like a change.
Like how clear
it's set up? Basically. Yeah, you just stand in front of the machine, and, you know, before it used to put the passport, and you had to put your fingers down, and, you know, it would take a picture, and it doesn't. It just takes the picture and knows who you are, and that worked really well. So, yeah, all in all, a good experience. Air France, just to talk about it really quickly, I was impressed with their service, like really friendly service. The A350 was a comfortable plane in economy, a little over 8 hours in the air, big like 12-inch, you know, IFE screens, lots of new movies. Got to watch the new Scream movie, which I finally got to watch, which was fun. Yeah, all in all, a good experience coming to the U.S. And like I said, you can't really beat that for like 16,000 membership rewards when the cash price of that flight was about $1,000. So pretty good.
One more random tip regarding global entry. We realized that three of our global entries were either expired or expiring. And so, you know, thanks to all these business platinum cards. Oh, maybe we should talk about Amex right now after this. But thanks to all these business platinum cards, I renewed all of them. But for my son, his had actually expired last year. And what I found was for him, he's going to need to do an interview. And I'm hoping to be able to do an interview on arrival when I get back to Newark from Canada after the cruise. But for my wife and myself, we didn't have to interview. In fact, I got my card like a week later. You know, I applied for renewal, got an approval the day after. This was last week. And I'm already looking at my global entry cards. I haven't put them away yet. So they're sitting right here in front of me. So even if you haven't traveled internationally for a long time, double check, make sure your global entry hasn't expired yet. And if it's about to expire within the next year, it's going to expire. That's when you can start renewing. Renew it now. And I think they don't want to deal with people interviewing right now. So they're just auto renewing people. So a little tip there. But yeah, like I said, lots of Amex business platinums in this family right now. And Mark put Amex on the agenda again, even though I said I'm sick of talking about it. But Mark, what's going on right now? I'm just going to tune out because I just get headaches thinking about all these Amex bonuses that are out there.
Should we do a tip on top of a tip on top of a tip?
Yeah, if just a tip, but yeah.
If you're going for global entry and you don't, I mean, most people listening, if not all, have a credit card that will give them the $100 credit, but Nexus is a good option. I think it's like $50 instead of the $100. And then you get a quick entry into Canada, you get TSA, and you get global entry, all of that. So that's one to check out. You have to do it at a land crossing border, I think, or when you fly into Canada, something like that. But definitely research if that sounds interesting to you, something that probably doesn't get covered enough. But yeah, Amex, they're just, you know, every day it's like, hold my beer. Let me get out a bigger offer for you guys. I don't know if they're playing like games in the office building saying, hey, can we push this up a little bit more? But there's now, you know, we used to think the 90K referral on the Amex Personal Gold was the best we'd seen. And then they came out with a public link for 100K. You know, I don't know if it's like a leak link or what, but you can click through. We have it up on the site. And it's a 100,000 point offer after 4,000 in spend. And then there's also a referral offer for the Amex Gold business that comes from a refer a friend that does have, both of these have the normal lifetime language. So it's not a one that you can get around, or if you already have one card, get to, like we talked about last time. But that offer is 130,000 points after $10,000 in spend, which the previous high we had seen through referrals was like 90K. And then there was some no lifetime offers going around that were 90K signup bonus plus 10K for adding an authorized user. So these are both the best we've seen publicly for sure.
Do you remember the days when, wasn't it like 35,000 was the regular signup bonus for the gold? And then occasionally you could get 50,000, like if you found like a, you know, you went in incognito mode or something like that. So this is like a full double. It's crazy.
I signed up for gold. The first time I signed up for gold was back when it was the 50K, and then they waived the annual fee the first year. And that was back when the annual fee was what, like $150 or something? So that was, I still like that offer though. Waived annual fee is nice. Oh, and the $100 airline incidental back then too.
RIP.
But I mean, yeah, these things are crazy. And, you know, American Express has had a lot of transfer bonuses. They always have had a lot of transfer bonuses, but that can give you more value. But on the surface, at least you're getting, you know, $100,000, you're getting $1,000 value at least, but usually a lot more. And, you know, like I talked about with the flights, I just spent $48,000 in membership rewards for about $3,000 worth of flights. I paid, you know, roughly, let's say $450 out of pocket for the taxes and fees. But, you know, there's a lot of value there. They recently had the 40% British Airways Avios transfer bonus that they brought back. That expired. I used that for our flights going from London up to Scotland. And, you know, I paid like 6,600 membership rewards for a flight that was hundreds of dollars. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity, I think, with American Express for flights. I personally have so many membership rewards points now because of all these offers and deals. And I have to find better ways to deal with them. I guess I'm just going to probably cash them out. You know, what do you guys...
Yeah, buddy.
I can't figure out any other way because I don't take enough flights. I'm trying to use them as much as I can, but I keep earning them. I guess it's a really good problem to have, but you know, what are you guys doing with your membership rewards these days?
Yeah, I think that's the problem with Amex. They're giving them out, but it is harder to use unless you're flying internationally. Like domestically, there's a big hole for them. They have Delta, which isn't great. And then, you know, everything else, you got to go through partners, which, you know, we've talked about partner bookings domestically is near impossible these days. And they don't have a great hotel program like Chase has Hyatt, you know, and Chase has United and Southwest. So you can do stuff that way. So it is tougher. It depends on how you fly. You know, I do, you know, 1 to 2 international trips a year, mostly during normal times. So my Amex MRs usually pile up a bit. So I have been cashing them out in chunks, part of it to get to that $15,000 goal that I had for the year of earnings, but also because you're earning so many, what's the point? You know, like I just signed up for my third business platinum offer this year, and that's going to be another 160,000 points. So I'll cash in some to pay for the $700 annual fee, and then I'll get all the credits for free, basically. So my kids' Christmas presents are going to be good coming from Dell and Microsoft, but they're going to have some good gadgets, I guess, because I have like $1,200 in credits to spend.
Wow, another Xbox gift card, Dad. Thanks.
Yeah, well, you can use it. I'm using it for the Surface Pro, but you can use them to get games, like get some Switch games, all that stuff on Dell. Like, it's crazy how much we're rolling in Dell money these days.
Are you cashing out via Schwab? Is that you still have that card, or is that how you're using it to
cash
out?
We each still have Schwab. So, like, 2 months ago, I cashed out all my membership rewards points. And once I hit this business platinum bonus, I'll be back up to like 600K. So I think, you know, anything over 500K, I'm going to just start cashing out in chunks. And then I'll let one of those cards go away if we don't get a retention offer, because we just got it on my wife's card like 3 months ago. So we have another like 9 months of cash out minimum. But, you know, maybe I'll cash out her account and keep my account, that type of thing. So we'll see how it plays out. But that's where I'm at.
And just as some background, if you cash out via like the regular cards, if you don't have the Schwab platinum card, then it's 1 cent is your value for the membership rewards. And if you do it via Schwab, it's 1 point.
Too. Yeah, because the statement credit's way worse. I forget.
Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah, you're not even getting one cent. And if you do it via Schwab, you're getting 1.1 cents per point, correct?
Yes. Was 1.25 cents, you know, like 6 months ago, a year ago, and they devalue that. And then they're like, here, take more points. So I guess that's the thing. Like, they're giving you so many more points, it doesn't hurt as much to cash out, you know, even though it's a little bit lower rate.
For sure. Yeah, I mean... all the details are on the site, both the post for the 100K personal gold and the business gold offer, 130K, are up there, so you can check out what you need.
And we used readers links for a lot of, like, all these in one post, which will be updated with all the things. So if you use one of those, you're helping out a reader, so that's pretty cool. And then you get the best offer you can.
All right, so let's talk about this next story. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I don't know, a month ago or something, I talked about how I really enjoyed my Choice Hotels redemption in Copenhagen and how I'm kind of a little bit more interested in Choice as a program because of the two times, because of the transfer from thank you points. You get two Choice points per one thank you point. And Choice has been making big moves. Mark and I talked on the Vegas show about how they are partnering with Circus Circus for their big blockbuster partnership in Las Vegas.
High class. Which
is pretty much. Yeah, that was a funny press release. But...
Joe, you taking the kids to Circus Circus or what?
Yeah, Canyon Blaster. Never forget.
There you go. That's a nerdy thing to know the name of that coaster, Joe. I appreciate that.
It was the I wrote it on my first time ever in Las Vegas. You know, we stayed at the old Monte Carlo, which was nice. But then we slummed it for like the rest of everything else. You know, did a lot of gambling at the Boardwalk. Remember that? And Casino Royale, which is Casino Royale still there?
It's still there, yeah.
Yeah, so Casino Royale.
Did you get some deep fried Oreos when you were there or what?
Did not. The internet wasn't as big then, so we didn't know. Like, this is 2002, so like we didn't know. Oh my gosh, that was 20 years ago. I'm so freaking old. But we
didn't know. Dude, your Vegas trip could almost go to Vegas.
Yeah. Oh no, it was 2001. It was 2001.
Your Vegas trip can go to Vegas.
This year.
Yeah, because I had just turned 21, and I remember distinctly at what's the Slots of Fun was next to Circus Circus.
Yep.
I don't know. Is that still there?
Yep. Still there.
So that's the first table I sat down to do blackjack, and it was like 2 or 3 days after my birthday. And I remember there was this Chinese lady, and me and my buddies, we all sat down at the table, and she looked at my card, and she just like looked at me and like laughed, and then we like spoke Cantonese to each other, like insulting each other. So it was fun. It was a good time. But yeah, then we rode the Canyon Blaster. So yeah, my first Vegas trip can go to Vegas. It's sad. It's sad, but you know.
All right. Well, if you want that experience,
I've totally derailed us, by the way. But yes, choice points, circus, circus,
choice points, circus, circus. I don't think that's probably going to be a good redemption value, but that's not what we're talking about. Choice made a big move this week. $675 million they're paying for Radisson Hotel Group Americas, which are the Radisson hotels basically in the United States, Canada, Latin America, and the Caribbean. So not all their European properties and stuff. Mark, what was it, a year ago or something, the federal government in the U.S. made them sort of split their programs between the domestic ones or the Americas ones and then everything else because the parent company of Radisson's owned by a Chinese company. So this is the America ones, like 10 Radisson Blues, 130 Radissons, a bunch of other stuff, 4 Radisson Reds, my favorite brand.
Yes, 453 and that is real. Benji's. We learned throwback to like episode 12 or whatever that me and Joe didn't think Radisson Red was a thing.
I took a picture of the one in Scotland this week, so we have a stock photo for the site. But 453 of Benji's favorite Country Inn and Suites, they're all going to become Choice Hotels under this deal. 68,000 rooms, 624 properties. Given the transfer from Thank You Points, I think this is a big deal, I think.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the points transfer over from Radisson to Choice. Is it 2 Radisson to 1 Choice, or is it 3 Radisson to 1 Choice? It's going to be less because Radisson aren't worth as much. And then once you see that, it'll be, you know, debate of do you let that go through where you transfer to Choice, or do you transfer your Radisson points in America to the Radisson International company to book overseas internationally because they're not getting any of those hotels. So that'll be, you know, we won't know until we know, and then we'll kind of do a breakdown of what to do. But it is good for anybody that has City Thank You Points because they have more hotels. I mean, they're not the best hotels, but I guess Choice isn't the best hotels domestically either. So you have more choices. You know, I still hate the Choice program because of the 90-day booking window. You can't book until you're 90 days out, I think, which I find very annoying. But there is a lot of value, especially right now with the way hotel prices are because they're have one of the few like static award prices, so you can get a lot of value out of their points.
What's funny to me, they did this with the Circus Circus partnership, and they're doing it here again, is the way that they keep describing everything as like upscale. Like in their press release,
they say, I saw that.
The added 624 hotels with over 68,000 rooms expand Choice Hotels' presence in the upscale and core upper mid-scale hospitality segments. I guess they have Radisson Blue and Radisson Red in some properties, but most of their regular Radissons in America are older. Country Inn and Suites is like a, you know, not upscale at all. I've stayed in some decent Country Inn and Suites back in the day. But nonetheless, to your point, it's going to be some good redemptions, hopefully, as long as, you know, we don't know what they're going to cost. Do you think ultimately, like, are they going to keep the branding here? Or do you think Choice will eventually integrate these properties into their other brands, considering, you know, Radisson is still a company that has properties elsewhere?
I feel like if we look at when Hyatt purchased various properties and Hilton, I think the brand recognition is fine and there's no real reason for them to change it from Radisson to Choice or whatever. I mean, maybe Country Inn and Suites doesn't have the greatest thing. I mean, every time I think Country Inn and Suites, I think about the Country Inn and Suites where I swear there was like blood on the in the hallway.
But the problem is like This is a weird one because they still have these hotels in another program in the world. Like, usually when Hyatt buys something, they're buying the whole shebang. Or when Marriott buys.
Good point.
So now you're like, oh, am I staying at this Radisson or ours? So I think they're going to have to change it. I don't know if they'll keep like, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. Because what does Radisson Blue roll into in Choice? Do they put it in that like upper tier program that's separate from the Choice program? But that's kind of annoying to book. You have to call in. So I don't know.
The press release does say, now for the Radisson Americas is a franchise. So all these hotels in these programs are franchise hotels. The Radisson itself doesn't own them. But it says that that Choice bought the intellectual property. So I'm guessing that means that they have the right to continue to use that name in the U.S. or in these territories. So it could just be like they bought the, you know, it's like buying a McDonald's franchise and you have the right to use it in that area, whereas the parent company still owns the name everywhere else. I don't know. But it's interesting nonetheless. It really is a blockbuster deal. Not every day you have a sale this big.
Blockbuster in the low end of the market. Boom. It's like, yeah, Hollywood videos compared to Blockbuster.
Got him.
I feel like whoever writes their press releases just loves the word upscale and, you know, everything else be damned. But
our powdered eggs are better than everybody else's powdered eggs. Come to our upscale Country Inn and Suites, people.
Benji has to be happy. What was his thoughts? I haven't kept up with what he said, but is he excited?
Yeah, I think he's excited because he has a large stash of Radisson points that are, you know, mostly useless in the U.S. So I think he's looking forward to them becoming Choice, which I'm guessing he's going to go with the rollover. But I don't know, because I know, you know, he booked Treasure Island in Vegas to burn Radisson points just because it was an option. So that's another one that will be, I'm guessing, will fall under the Choice Hotel, that partnership, I would think. So you'll be able to use thank you points to book that in Vegas likely. Which is kind of cool because Treasure Island's kind of a fun, nicer property, but not usually overly expensive and kind of leans younger. But yeah, he's going to give his thoughts once we see how it all rolls out and what the rollover rates are for the points. But I think overall, he was pretty excited about it.
So real quick, we have an update on that Wells Fargo $1,500 bonus. I heard this week right now it's 60 days, right? You had to put $5,000 in the bank for 60 days. We talked about it on the program. People are starting to get their money now, right? It's been 60 days since that came out.
Yeah. It just had to be there on day 30 and day 60, which is kind of weird. I think most people just left it in there the whole time. But yeah, we had a couple in the Diamond Lounge say they got the bonus posting on Monday of this week. And then I said, when did you open the account? And they said on the 14th or whatever. So it was a full, and I counted out the days, it was a full 60 days. So right on day 60, it's hitting, which is kind of unique. And especially for Wells Fargo, because I have a post coming out today about how long it took me to get my business card in the mail from when I signed up in branch. What's your guesses on length, time of length? Joe,
I already know the answer, so.
Dang it.
Me too.
Oh, you guys read it?
38 days.
Oh, I posted too. Yeah, I posted in Slack too.
We read everything you put in Slack, man.
But 38 days, like, that's insane. I mean, peak COVID wasn't even 38 days. So I don't know what happened. It's weird because I got approved in branch, but then I got an approval letter dated May 30th in the mail saying, congrats, you've been approved. So somewhere in between when the branch sends it in and it getting it, I don't know if they send it by horse and carriage to, you know, wherever the processing is, but it took that long just to get the ball rolling. And then it took like 2 weeks after the approval letter.
Not horse and carriage. It's the Wells Fargo wagon.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Wild Wild West. Pew, pew,
pew, pew. All right.
But yeah, yeah, they're a hot mess because their business card pays out really weird. It doesn't pay out monthly. It pays out quarterly. So of course my, you know, June statement cut the day before I got the card. So now I have to wait till September. Even if I complete the spending like in the first few days, it won't be until like mid-September until I get the money.
Well, I'm excited for like, I'm going to be checking my account in about a week. I got like 7 days to go before I get my $3,000 between
me
and Jasmine.
Drink sunshine this weekend. Joe, you better get here.
Doesn't post till next week.
Disney World,
sorry.
Baby. I'm going to Disney World.
Detroit's the Disney World of the Midwest, baby.
Where are you staying at Disney World, Joe?
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. I am taking my son. He's born in the summer, so the family is pretty much never gonna, you know, you get those pins that say it's my birthday and everyone treats you nicely. You know, my daughters are born in much more reasonable times of the year. And so they will get chances in their lives to be celebrated while we're all there, but he never will. So I'm going to take him. You know, this is going to be my one trip with him this year, and then I got to figure out where to take my youngest daughter somewhere. But, you know, they're out of school. We don't have school Monday. And so, you know, I figured it was a good time to go. Plus, Leslie's going to be there, and we are going to hopefully meet up in person for the first time since the pandemic. So,
oh, I thought you were going to say first time ever, like you and me. That would have been crazy, too.
No. yeah, we've recorded actually in person in the parks before, and we're going to try to do that again. But, yeah, we're overlapping for a day, and there's a new ride and stuff. So, yeah, that's what we're going for. But ostensibly to celebrate my son's birthday.
Did you cave in when Benji was begging and pleading with you to come visit him when he was in Boston for a couple nights?
No, I did not. he said he was at a Shake Shack, and then there's a Shake Shack that I can walk to. It's about maybe a 15-20 minute walk away from where I am. And, you know, I know he was at Encore, and I can see Encore from my house. I mean, you know, it's like Vegas though, right? It's kind of far away, and it's not a direct path. And I was like, oh, which Shake Shack are you at? Because if he had said he was at that Shake Shack, I was going to walk out and say hi. But he was at the Shake Shack in Encore, and I was like, all right, I'll see you. Well, I'm going to see him sometime this year. But I was like, I'll see you sometime.
Yeah, he really fell in love with Encore. He said it was better than the one in Vegas, he thought. So I'm curious to see his write-ups. I know he's doing a couple different write-ups on it. You haven't stayed there, but have you been on the gaming floor and everything? He said it's massive.
It's massive. It's really nice. Does Benji gamble? Does he play?
I don't think so. That goes against the fire principles, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. So I don't understand how you can appreciate casinos when you don't gamble. But Sean does it. Benji does it. So all the more power to you guys.
Benji's more, those are good FHR redemptions, and he has credits to burn. So that's how he ends up at the casinos.
Yeah. But yeah, the floor is really nice. Everything is really clean, and everyone who works there is really nice. And the other nice thing is, like, I haven't been on a weekend, but when I've been, it hasn't been super crowded. And, you know, everything looks very upscale. It's funny because if you're a local, you know that the area is very non-upscale. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of like Atlantic City. But not as dumpy as Atlantic City. What can be?
Atlantic City doesn't have upscale anything, so you don't have to worry.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too. So, but yeah, it's really nice in there. So, yeah, I can see why he really liked it.
I'm offended for everybody from Atlantic City that you said that, Mark. I mean,
I'm sorry. Atlantic City should be great. It has everything you need to make it great, and they can't. Like, the boardwalk's a joke. It could be awesome. The beach looks dirty and it's just a terrible looking beach, and it should be awesome. You have casinos, beach, you know, it should be a party on the boardwalk. There should be cool shops, and they just fail on it all. So it's, which I know they have a hard time getting people to show up. So, but maybe that plays the reason why. Like, we went there and I was super excited about it. Like, hey, everybody says it's bad, but we're going to make the best of it. And we left a day early and went to Philadelphia and hung out.
I'm going to be in Atlantic City next week, taking advantage of the status match offer. So I'll report back to everybody on what exactly the latest is with those, because there's hopefully some free cruises to come out of it. In fact, I'm going to be talking about
more cruises.
I'm going to be talking about all the cruise offers this weekend at the MTM Diamond meetup here in Detroit for our Patreon subscribers. But I'm going to do the latest on the ground research. So hopefully I'm going to show up in Atlantic City without any hotel book, because I'm hoping to get the Hard Rock, because when you match, you get the two free nights. So obviously I'll make sure that they have availability that night before, or else I'll book something else. But I'll report back. So on a future show, I'll let people know, because there's a lot of opportunity there for status matching, it seems like, lately. And I'm hoping it's still the case. And I hadn't heard a lot about, like, Bally's there is matching. So there's a lot of cool stuff, free cruises, all that good stuff. So I'll report back. Hopefully it's lively over there, Mark. And if not, I'll just go to the Jersey Shore.
Syringes on the beach and all that, you know. Just watch out. We're saying.
I'm looking forward to taking the family to the Jersey Shore, though. So that'll be fun. That down to some of the parks further south from there, which is really fun. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. As I said, I'm in Detroit, and we have the Diamond Patreon meetup this weekend for all of our subscribers. Really looking forward to that. We do that every few months. The next one's in Mexico City after this, and then we have Austin. So still some really cool ones on the books. So I hope to see everybody out there who's a subscriber on our Patreon. And you can subscribe at patreon.com/miles2memories. We have our Slack. We have our private Facebook group. Benji and Mark and our Facebook moderator, Ryan Flanagan, do the Spending Time podcast behind the paywall there. And we have some other shows, including a fire show that Benji and I have started to do and some other breakdowns of rewards programs. So a lot going on in that. I feel like it's really cool. It's coming along there. So patreon.com/miles2memories. Joe, where can people find you when they're not listening to this fine podcast?
You can find me at As Joe Flies all over social media and connect with any of my various projects there. What about you, Mark?
Joe, you got a price for me on the drink package for the cruise yet or what?
Oh, I forgot about that. We can add all of it. We can't. You don't have to add that stuff now. We can add that all later.
No, I need to know. I need to budget it all. No.
For you, Mark, I'll look it up.
Plus, I have I prepaid for everybody, so I probably have it mostly covered. I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping, is that like what I've paid in covers the cruise and the drink package, but I might have to send a little bit extra. That's my fingers crossed. You can find me on Twitter at Detroit Mark. Make sure to follow both of us, Miles to Memories and Detroit Mark, this weekend, because we'll be posting a ton of stuff from the meetup and the shenanigans that happen. You can email me, Mark, at Miles to Memories. You know, comment on any of the articles on the website, and I'll get back to you there.
And just as a reminder, for everything related to this show, you can find mtmpodcast.com. You can find links to apply for cards if you find what we talk about helpful. And we love 5-star reviews. Written reviews on Apple Podcasts, even better. And thanks so much to everybody who listens, reads the site, watches our videos on YouTube, does all of that. We really appreciate it. Talk to you guys next time.
Detroit. Look at that Detroit internet holding up nicely for Sean all day.
Really? You didn't see it cut out?
It did. It was way better. It was way better than anything you've had in Europe.
Yeah. It was.
No, I only had the one bad week in Europe. That was it. Everything else was good.
No. Yeah. Okay. Bye. Yes.
Bye.